Well, good morning, everyone. This is kind of going to be a really interesting, slightly weird for me because I'm used to having a live crowd sitting all around me, and I'm here on my own. Well, there's Malcolm here wandering around, so that's it. So happy Mother's Day to everybody, all the mums out there, and especially for my mum and everybody else's. Now, Lois has prepared a few gifts for the children to give out this morning. Unfortunately, we are not here. You are not here. The children are not here, so we can't really do that. We can't give them out. But we have got a little pack here that we will endeavour to get out to you guys, hand them out, or maybe just leave it long enough. Everything should be okay. We'll be in date. So for the mums, the ladies, we have a gift for you when everything comes back to normal. So we'll leave that to the side. So shall we start with the Word of God? But before that, let's just pray, because I know many people may be a bit anxious, a bit worried out there, a bit concerned about how things are going, but I really believe that God is in control of all things. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are an amazing and awesome God. Lord, that nothing takes you by surprise, that you are in full control. Lord, I pray for people that are anxious, people that are nervous, people that are worried this morning, that you will give them your peace, Lord, the peace that passes all understanding. And as much as this time we don't know what's really going on, we pray, Lord, that you will just continue to give us peace, and we, as we trust you and walk in your ways. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to start speaking this morning, and we will see how we go. Hopefully it won't be too long, as you're sat there probably with your coffees or teas, maybe in your pajamas. I've had to get dressed, fully sorted out. So I suppose I better do my hair. That's done. Now we're all sorted. So this morning I just want to look at Philippians chapter 1. But before we get into that, it's a good thing to think about Acts 16. Acts 16 is the story. I'll just turn to it. I'm not going to read it all out to you, but I'll just give you the heads up. It's where Paul and Silas are trying to go into different areas around Asia. They're trying to go around. And it seems in Acts 16 that we find that the Holy Spirit stops them going into certain areas. They try again to go into different areas, and the Holy Spirit stops them again. And it's almost with a frustration that Paul's praying, and he has a vision of a man from Macedonia, it says, standing, begging him or asking him to come over to Macedonia. So Paul then decides to take a trip over there, and he ends up, this is in Acts 16, verse 13, he says, on the Sabbath, we went outside of the city gates to the river where we expected to find a place to pray. So he's gone out there to pray, him and Silas, and they weren't there very long. And he says, we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. So obviously they'd gone for prayer, but there were people around them to speak to him. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from a city nearby, who was a worshipper of God. So she obviously believed in God. As they were speaking, it says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. I think Luke obviously is around with them, and probably other people. And she said this, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So she's asked them, say, so everything's going all right. They've in a sense, they've started witnessing to people, people responding. And then it continues. And this is getting to the story that most of you will be aware of, most of you know. It says, once we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners as a fortune teller. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High, who are telling you the way to be saved. Interesting that even the demons are telling people the words. But there's something underlining here. And we continue. It says, she kept on this up for many days. Finally, Paul became troubled and turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At this moment, the Spirit left her. So she's telling people these men are preaching the way to be saved, and Paul's frustrated because at the end of the day, no demon is going to tell you how to get saved. There's always some sort of trickery going on. Verse 19, it says, and when the owner of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money had gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and says to these men are Jews, and they are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful to us Romans and to accept their practices. We've got to remember that Paul actually was a Roman citizen here, but they didn't know that at the time. The crowd joined in with the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard these carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them into the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Things have gone really good, and now things are not so good. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. To Paul and Silas, they weren't bothered. In our time where we're living now and what's going on in our country, things are looking quite bleak for some people, and yet for others they seem to be riding this. But Paul had witnessed to some ladies, and Lydia had got saved in her household, they'd been baptized. He'd cast out the demon, he was preaching the gospel, and he'd ended up in prison. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Now everybody prays when they're in prison, but it says, and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. These guys weren't shy of the gospel. They were actually out there, even in stocks and chains, singing and praising God. I imagine Silas trying to go, Paul sat there going, we need to do something about this. Silas is looking like, what do you want to do, Paul? And Paul goes, I know what we'll do. We'll sing. I mean, imagine Silas's face. It's his mission. He's come out with Paul. Barnabas has gone into the distance somewhere on another plan, another purpose somewhere else. And now suddenly Silas is with the man of God and they're in prison. And Paul says, sing. I mean, imagine how that's going to go down. If I came to you and things are happening in your life, so I'm saying, okay, sing. You'd be throwing me out. You'd be casting it, get rid of it, get rid of him. But Paul says, sing. And it says, suddenly the prayer meeting, the worship meeting, the praise party that Paul was having had got God's attention. And God suddenly turned up. It says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors were opened and everybody's chains were loosed. I'm interested with that one. I don't really know how far this went, but it says the jailer woke up, and when he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had all escaped. But Paul shouted, do not harm yourself. We are all still here. So Paul actually is saying, we're still here, because the prison guard had suddenly realized that all the doors were open. It's a miracle that the prisoners didn't just run off and run for the hills, but yet they all, maybe in shock, maybe they were just wondering what was going on. But verse 29 says, the jailer called for lights and rushed and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. So obviously something had sparked something in his life. And he says this, then he brought them out and asked the men, what must I do to be saved? So this jailer must have known Paul, or at least heard Paul and Silas preaching. But he asked them a question, what must I do to be saved? Now some people say, all you've got to do, as Paul says here, they reply, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then, see, that's the first step. Then he spoke to them the word of the Lord to him, and all the others in his house. So Paul didn't just say, believe, and that's good enough. He actually told them the word of God. It says, at that hour in the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he'd come to believe in God, he and all his household, or all his family. So they'd all got saved, and Paul had spoke the word of God over their lives. It doesn't tell us that he'd locked up the jail as he left, but we're assuming he did. So then years later, in Philippines, Paul's writing back to the church that started with a lady as he spoke to a lady called Lydia and a jailer. Years later, he's writing, now Paul is in prison, waiting probably execution, not quite knowing what's going on. And yet he writes these words. This is Philippians 1, verse 3-9. It says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. So looking back at what he remembered and what we've just read, he says, all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out unto completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It was right for me to feel this way about you all, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for you all, that you, with all the affection of Jesus Christ. So Paul's quite affectionate towards these people. They must have had a real impact on his life. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless in the day of Jesus Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. We're living in a time where we've never really been before. Other nations may have had, we haven't. But Paul's encouraging the people there in Philippi to actually continue. He says this, that being confident of this, or another version, the New Living Translation says this, that I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue his work until the final finish on the day of Jesus Christ's return. You see, what Jesus has started in every one of you, in me, and the people around us, the Christians that we know, is going to finish. This isn't over. It's not the end of the world. In fact, the Bible study that we'll be doing on Revelation, we're going to be looking at that. But this isn't the end of the world. It's just another step forward. And I'm believing that God will use everything that's happening for his glory, for his good. I also believe, and we've been praying this for years as this church and other churches, we keep talking about the revival and we keep talking about what's going to happen in the future. This could trigger people turning. We need to have our doors ready for when these people come. We need to understand that God is doing a work in people's lives. I'm not saying that this virus is here because of God or God's done it or God's instigated it. But what I am saying is God will use this for his glory and he will bring people to him. And as a church and as believers and as people, you are the church. This is just a building that we're in, that we're meeting usually. But you are the church. You can talk with people and encourage people. And if you don't want to meet up with people face to face, you can still be the church on the phone, on Instagram, on Facebook, online, or whatever. You can. I mean, I would encourage you even this morning, people, ring your parents up, ring your mum up especially. Tell her, you know, just say hello. Maybe there's people out there, your neighbours, that you may need to reach out to. People that are in your street, in your neighbourhood, people that you work with that you may not see at the minute. Why not be a blessing to them, even this morning, that you can actually reach out to them? The Bible actually continues in Isaiah 14, verse 24. It says, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely I have planned it, and so will it be. And as I have purposed it, so it will happen. Now, not talk about the virus, but what God's doing in your life and in my life, what God's purposed, it will happen. You see, sometimes we get a bit twisted up and we make mistakes and we maybe slip up and fall. But God says, what I've started, I'm going to finish. If God's put something on your life and God's, you know, spoke over your life, all you've got to do is keep walking in the things of God and everything God's promised will come to pass in your life. God is not a fool. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going on in your life and he knows the mistakes you and I will make. But what he says is that what I've started, I will finish. Some of you people are praying for your loved ones, praying for your family and your children especially, and you're wondering, what's God doing? God's saying, just keep trusting me. Keep trusting me. It says this. This is the New Living Translation of those verses in Isaiah. It says, the Lord of heaven's armies has sworn this oath. it will all happen as I have planned, and it will be as I have decided. When God says something, he means it, and what he says he means, and he just takes it forward from there. But we don't always know what God's doing. We don't always see what God's doing. At the minute, many people are worried and panicking about what might happen and what might not. They're worried about whether we run out of toilet roll, which most places are, food and things like that. People are going hysterical. People are just grabbing. I mean, at the end of the day, I managed to get the last box of Ritz biscuits. I mean, the whole world can go downhill now, but I've got that box of biscuits at home. But in truth, there's no shortages. We are just continuing a little bit different. But you can shine as the body of Christ and as the church of God. For a lot of us, we're going to find it hard because we're so used to a building, when in reality, we are the church. And what God has started in you, he will finish. In Mark 4, we read about the parable of the parable of growing seed. And it says this. This is verse 26 of Mark 4. It says, he also said this. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he slept or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. So as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts it to the sickle, because the harvest has come. There's an interesting parable, and there's lots of meanings about that. But in a quick nutshell for myself, I look at that and say, well, God's started something in your life. We don't have to worry or panic about what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. All we've got to do is keep walking in the things of God. If God's promised something in your life, the best thing you can do is keep him a word and keep praying. Keep fellowshipping. Like at the moment, you've got to be careful. Keep that 2 meters away from everybody. As Malcolm said earlier, sometimes you might need a stick to poke people back and stand off a little bit with people. But whatever God's started in your life, as long as you're walking with him and trusting him, you're going to produce a fruit of what God said. The more of the word of God you get into your life, the more seed will be planted, the more it'll grow. And let's just say at this time, if we're all in, you know, seclusion and isolation and not really seeing people, and we're not getting out, most at restaurants, pubs, bars, and other places, the sports centres are all shutting down, other shops are shutting down, and people can now do the things that they've been saying they've never had time to do. Some of you might want to write that book you've always been promising you're going to write. Some of you might take up an hobby, learn an instrument, read books. I mean, imagine that now. Now, after you've finished watching YouTube and finished watching Netflix and other things like that, you might just decide to start picking up your Bible and reading it for what it is. You may even have time over the next, could be weeks, could be a few months, could be 3 months, 6 months, who knows? But it gives you time. You could even start in Genesis and just start reading. And by the time we all get back, you'll have finished the Bible and started again. It's just one of those times. Make the best of the time. I put some on Facebook recently, a Latin phrase, carpe diem. Most of you are aware of that and know what it means. But it means seize the day. Take hold of things. Make the best of it. And I'd say, in these circumstances, make the best of it. At the end of the day, most of your neighbours will be fearful, panicking. And you could be a light that shines. You can contact them, you can ring them. But for yourself, seize the moment. Make the best of it. Challenge yourself. Don't just sleep in and stay in bed and stuff like that. Do something with your life. Make the best of it. Get that jigsaw done that you've always wanted to do. Read that book that you always said. Or even do something amazing. And you can be awesome. Imagine that God could use this time to take you on to the next level. You see, what Jesus starts in somebody, he always finishes. Or another way of putting that, Jesus always finishes where he starts. Imagine if you know the end from the beginning, God is not going to start something in your life knowing the end of it, if by the end of it, it's never going to happen. So if he started something, he knows it's going to finish. So for yourself and for myself, we need to consider what God started, he is going to finish. And we can trust him in that, no matter what circumstances happen, no matter what goes on. I mean, at the end of it all, so far in my own life, and probably many of you, we've survived, I think, maybe 8, 9, end of the world scenarios that suddenly come from nuclear fallout from the 80s right through depressions and recessions, and you know, there's going to be a plague and there's going to be that. Who knows what tomorrow brings? Who knows what next year brings? But at the minute, we're all right. You see, your life, my life, may be like a roller coaster. For some people, it's got its ups and downs. Life's out of control. Some of us don't mind life out of control too much. Some of you might have a walk in the park experience going on at the moment where everything's rosy. It's great. You've isolated yourself. You're at home. Things are great. Not for everybody. Some people may be living in like a battlefield scenario where it's just a battle even just to keep going, get going. I mean, if you want a real battle, try going downtown to the supermarket when it first opens. It's quite embarrassing, really, that people are acting like that. And for some people, life is just like climbing a mountain. But in respect of that, sometimes all you can do is put one foot in front of another and just keep on going. God will always use you and me, even with our limitations. You see, God's not surprised with what's happened. He knows what's going on. And you may feel very limited of what you can and can't do, but God is still in control, and he will always use your limitations for his glory. In fact, it's in our weaknesses, the way we are strong. If you remember Paul, he wrote in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, and he says this, verse 8 onwards. He says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer from Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's an interesting few verses there that people often say it was an illness or something, because it talks about the thorn in the flesh. Well, in the Old Testament, thorn in the flesh was always used about persecution from people. And using the Bible as our, you know, checking things out, maybe he did have problems, illnesses. I doubt it. But what I do know, he did have persecution. And here he says, in the insults and hardships, persecutions and troubles that I have suffered, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The Message puts it a little bit differently. He says, then God told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weaknesses. I mean, have you ever thought that when you've been at your weakest point, you've seen God move and you've been as strong as ever? Once I heard that, Paul says, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicapped and became appreciated of the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving into my weaknesses. Now I take the limitations in my stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, oppression, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over so that the weaker I get, the stronger I become. He's not talking about sin, and he's not talking about, you know, slipping up and messing up. He's talking about when troubles come. And let's face it, some of you may have trouble, but make the best of it. Paul says in our weaknesses, then we can be strong in Christ. Christ working through us. Paul learned to stop focusing on life's problems. We've got a big problem, but we've got a bigger Jesus. I was quite encouraged when they named the virus COVID-19. Because once I give it a name, I know one who's got a name that's higher than all other names. A King of Kings and Lord of Lords that rises above everything. And once they named it, I'm thinking, that's brilliant. Because now there's a name that's above that. That's the name of Jesus. You see, as Christians, we all make mistakes. We all have limitations. We all have problems and trouble. But when we are at our weakest, then in Christ we can be strong. And maybe this is a time where you and I can be strong for ourselves, for our families, but also for our neighbours, our friends, relatives, who are wondering what the heck's going to happen. Some people's told me it's just trouble after trouble. People are panicking about all sorts now. And even to the point where, you know, people were wondering whether or not they should end their own lives with nobody there to call upon. We need to be strong for people and encourage them and not just jump along in the negativity and the troubles that's going on. We need to have a different voice, a godly voice. Jesus took on everything. He loved the world that hated him. He even healed the person that chopped off his, he healed the person who came to arrest him when Peter chopped off his ear. So Jesus was compassionate, and we need to show compassion. In 1 John 5:4-5, it says this: "For every child of God defeats the evil world, and we can achieve victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Friends, you listen to me right now on the internet, wherever you may be. If you're a child of God, the Bible says that you've overcome the world. And it also says, but by the word of your testimony in Revelation, by the blood of Christ and the word of your testimony, we overcome the devil. You see, Jesus did everything on the cross for us so we could walk into the Holy of Holies. Now we've just got to use our testimony as a weapon against everything that's going on. So you can speak to your neighbours and friends and relatives, and you can say to them, God still loves us. God still cares. And they will ask the question, well, why is this happening? You can say, it's getting your attention. This isn't God. This is just something that's happening in the world. It's something that's going, there may be an ulterior motive behind it. There may be a conspiracy. Who knows? We'll find out in time. But at the moment, you can still shine like a light in the darkness. A great verse in Romans, probably most people know this one, but it's a great one to underline right now in your Bible. Romans 8:28. It says this: "But we know that in all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who have been called according to his purpose." Do you love God? Do you love God? Then this is for you. And those who are called according to his purpose. Do you have a plan in your life? Remember what we read earlier on? That God will actually finish the work he started in you. Let me reiterate that for you. "And I am certain that God, who began a good work in you," that's a good work in you, "will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day of Jesus Christ." If you love God and you've got a purpose for your life, it will all turn out for good. It may be for some of you, if you're worried about food, go on a fast. That'd be interesting, won't it? But for many, don't worry, just trust in God. God says he will always look after us. So God will always work together for the good of those who love him. Life to me is often like the Three Peaks walk, and I love hiking, I love getting out there. I mean, at the minute, but take my dog for a walk. As long as I don't go near anybody, we should be okay. But it's like doing the Three Peaks. It's full of ups and downs. I mean, if life were just level, it'd be totally boring. But it has its ups and downs. And like any good hike, you've got rivers to cross and bogs to crawl through. Sometimes it's sunshiny, sometimes it's rain. But that's life. That's us. That's where we're at. God never said we're going to have an easy life. Even as Christians, Jesus said, you're going to have hardship. You're going to have trouble in this world. But be of good heart, be of good cheer, Jesus says, because I've overcome the world. If you've overcome the world, we've overcome the world. We can testify. The devil can't touch us according to 1 John as long as we're walking in the things of God. See, God sees the end from the beginning. And what he says, he means. And what he's promised in your life, he will fulfill. You just got to keep on going, hold on, and use this time for good. Use this time for his glory. Use this time to shine to the people around you. Let's not leave it to other people, to organizations. Let's be a church that stands up and reaches out. And who knows that when we all come back together in time, you may be able to bring the neighbors and friends that have cried out to God, like this jailer did. What must I do to be saved? Or Lydia, who heard the word of God, and she had time to talk it through. The jailer didn't. He was panicking. He was going to kill himself. Maybe there's people that's getting to the end of their rope, and you're the person that's going to just reach out to them and tell them about Jesus. Amen. So be encouraged. Let me just pray, and then that's the end. Look us up. We'll be around on Facebook. Do like us. I don't know where the button will be. And even subscribe if you're on YouTube, because then you'll get, each time we put something up, you'll get it straight to you. If you like it, leave us a comment. Tell us something. Be encouraging to me, because I don't know if anyone's listening to these or not, or whether or not you're just out there. Do communicate. It'd be great. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you're doing in everyone's life who listens to it. I pray a blessing. I pray peace. And I pray goodness into their lives. And I pray also that you will speak to them and that their lives, Lord, may shine in this dark situation, this dark world that we're in. And that, Lord, through your goodness in our lives, we may show goodness and love to people around us. Amen.